Turn tonight in your Bibles to Joshua chapter number 14, please. Joshua chapter number 14. I want to preach tonight on the subject, I want that mountain. I want that mountain. Joshua 14, beginning at verse number 6. Verse number 6. The Bible said that the children of Judah came unto Joshua in Gilgal, and Caleb the son of Zephaniah, the Kenizzite, said unto him, Thou knowest the thing that the Lord said unto Moses, the man of God, concerning me and thee in Kadesh Barnea. 40 years old was I when Moses, the servant of the Lord, sent me from Kadesh Barnea to spy out the land, and I brought him word again as it was in mine heart. Nevertheless, my brethren that went up with me made the heart of the people melt, but I wholly followed the Lord my God. And Moses sware on that day, saying, Surely the land wherein thy feet have trodden shall be thine inheritance, and thy children's forever, because thou hast wholly followed the Lord my God. And now, behold, the Lord hath kept me alive, as he said, these 45 years. Even since the Lord spake unto this word unto Moses, while the children of Israel wandered in the wilderness, and now, lo, I am this day 85 years old. As yet, I am as strong this day as I was the day that Moses sent me. As my strength was then, even so is my strength now for war, both to go out and to come in. Now, therefore, give me this mountain, whereof the Lord spake in that day, that thou heardest in that day how the Anakims were there, that the cities were great and fenced. If so be the Lord will be with me, then I shall be able to drive them out, as the Lord said. Let's bow for prayer. Our Father, tonight we come to you in prayer. We thank you again for the privilege that we have to be in this service. We thank you for the good spirit of service this morning. And then tonight, Lord, the music that has prepared our hearts. We thank you, Lord, for the songs that were sung tonight that brought glory and honor to the Lord Jesus. Now, Father, speak to our hearts even now as the Word of God is open. Help us to see, even in the life of this special old saint of God by the name of Caleb, help us to see tonight a challenge that can be made today in this thing of serving the Lord. God, give us that determination. Give us that drive. Give us that resolve to wholly follow the Lord. And God, to still keep on claiming mountains until you call us home. Now, Lord, bless tonight, and we'll thank you and praise you in Jesus' name. Amen. You know, we understand tonight, as we think of the land of Canaan, we understand that Canaan was not a type of heaven. Canaan is not in the Bible a type of heaven. Canaan is actually a type of victorious Christian living, of the experience of walking with the Lord, of a walk of faith. The song that sometimes we sing, which I actually like the song, but yet the song really does not do justice when it comes to the issue of Canaan. On Jordan's stormy bank I stand, and cast a wishful eye. Oh, who will come and go with me where my possessions lie? I am bound for the promised land. Well, the song itself would depict Canaan as a type of heaven, but Canaan is not a type of heaven. But what Canaan is, it's a type of the walk of faith. When Israel got into the land of Canaan, they had a responsibility to roll up their sleeves, to get busy. They had the responsibility to arm themselves to fight the enemies of the land. And we can rest assured tonight, when you and I get to heaven, there's going to be no fighting. If there's any fighting to be done, it's going to be done here, isn't it? Not when we get to heaven. So Canaan is not a type of heaven. Let's look at Caleb. Caleb was a unique person. Caleb was getting up in years at the time that this narrative is given. Getting up in years. But Caleb still had the drive. Caleb still had a spirit within him that said go. Caleb still wanted a mountain. Caleb, in fact, said, give me that mountain. My, I'll tell you, there's a lot of application that can be made with that thought. Give me the mountain. I believe tonight you and I ought to keep on driving on. I believe we ought to keep our spirit up. We ought to keep our energy going. We ought to have a resolve, a determination, a commitment to not settle for seconds, but to always want the best that God would have us to have. I just believe tonight that when it comes to the matter of serving God, as long as our feet are still above ground, as long as we still have breath in our lungs, we ought to have a determination and a desire to serve the Lord with all that is within us. That ought to be our drive tonight. You know, when you stop and think about it, any of us can be as close to God as we want to be. You know that's true? We can be as close to God as we want to be. In other words, the problem is never with the Lord, it's never with His Word, it's never with God's will, it's always with us. We're the people that causes the problems. It's not God's end of it, it is our end of it. We can be as close to the Lord as we want to be, but the problem is many times church members are like the children of Israel. They wander around, they're up and down, they complain, they find fault. They've already been blessed like Israel was. Israel had already been delivered out of Egypt. God gave them food to eat. God even made it possible that their shoes, the shoe leather didn't wear out. The soles on their shoes didn't even wear out. I like to find a pair of shoes today that last 40 years, wouldn't you? But in spite of all that Israel had going for them, they still complained. They got to Kadesh Barnea, and they made a mistake in, you know, sending the spies out. You know that account, don't you? Sent out the 10 spies. Now, what was wrong with that? Well, here's what was wrong with it. They had no business sending out the spies because God had already spied out the land. God had already checked the land out. God had already told them to go on in it and claim it and possess it. But no, they're just like a bunch of hard-headed Baptists our day. Instead of just simply doing what God told them to do, they said, we saw those giants in that land, and actually what it was, they melted down with a grasshopper complex. They said, we're just like grasshoppers in their sight. Let me tell you something, grasshopper complex will get you every time. When you start feeling like you're a grasshopper, don't expect to do anything for God. And by the way, that's exactly what Israel were saying. They were saying the enemy is there. They're just like giants. And in comparison to us, well, we're just like a grasshopper. And what a tragedy that was. But now, there's two old warriors there that saw things different. There's two men that saw the land the way they needed to see it. There were two people there that didn't go with the majority. Remember now, the spies went out. Two of them gave a good report. Joshua, Caleb, you know who they are. Why, they went in. They checked the land out. Excuse me, sometimes we drop things when we're preaching. They checked the land out, and they fell back on something. They fell back on a promise. God told them to go in and possess the land. And those two old saints of God by the name of Joshua and Caleb, they had faith to believe that since God had already given them the land and told them to possess the land, they didn't have any right sending out spies and checking out all the conditions. In other words, God's command was God's enabling. And I want you to think about that tonight. God's command is God's enabling. When God tells a person to do something, God will give them the enablement to get it done. And age wasn't a factor. God just simply said, go on in, claim the land. Joshua and Caleb believed that. But on the other hand, the people went by the majority report. It was a democracy in that respect. By the way, democracy has never proven to be the best way of government anyway. The consent of all the people. Well, the majority of the people, their consent wasn't good. So anyway, the major part of the spies said we can't do it. Two said we can do it. So the people listened. to the majority report. They should have listened to the minority report, but they listened to the majority report, and it got them in big trouble, didn't it? In fact, the whole generation, with exception of Joshua and Caleb, never stepped their feet in the promised land. They got to Kadesh Barnea, they sent the spies out, and then God gave them a scenic route, scenic tour the rest of the way, wandered around. When they got to Kadesh Barnea, they could have gone on in the land there, really. But no, it cost them 40 years of wandering in the wilderness because they chose a majority report over a minority report, and God had already said go, and again, His command is His enablement. But they wouldn't listen. But now here's this man by the name of Caleb. Caleb, what can we say about him? Well, we can say this about him. He carries out the right kind of a purpose. He didn't follow the Lord with his fingers crossed behind his back. When the people got to the border of the land, he was mindful of what God had said instead of being fearful at what they saw. Let me tell you tonight, if we're mindful of what God has said, we'll not be fearful of what we see. We need to fall back on the Word of God. They, the people I'm talking about, distrusted God's power in God's presence. They trusted in the negative majority. They placed the word of man over the word of God. They focused upon their inability instead of God's ability. They had that grasshopper complex, like I said. Why? They were basing their strategy upon human intelligence. They were trying to weigh it out the way they saw it. But you see, we need to understand tonight that success in ministry is following God's blueprint, doing as God says. In other words, when it comes to serving the Lord, we're not going to see success by using our own strategy, by trying to figure things out ourselves. When God says go, we need to go. When the green light's on, we need to take advantage of it. Caleb had the right kind of a purpose. Number two, he claimed the right kind of a promise. What was the promise? I want the mountain. I want the mountain. A promise to Caleb was not a motto to hang on the wall, but it was a check to take to the bank. Did you hear what I said? A promise to Caleb was not a motto to stick up on the wall. Years ago when I was a kid, I used to sell mottos. Can y'all remember what a motto is? Surely you can. I was thinking today, given the age of many in this congregation, my goodness, we still have a fond memory of those good old days, don't we, when things were simple a little bit. You remember the mottos, don't you? A motto was simply those nice little, I sold the things, I don't remember what they were. You know, little plaque with a scriptural statement on it, like walk by faith, not by sight, or something like that. You put them on the wall, like a Bible verse. Well, it's good to have a Bible verse on the wall, but it's better to have a Bible verse in your heart. It's good to post it publicly, but it's better to let the truth of it motivate you inwardly. And so when it came to the matter of Caleb, Caleb saw a promise of God as being more than a motto to stick on a wall. To Caleb, a promise meant a command. He was an 85-year-old soldier who wasn't quite willing to say, I've had my day. I'm going to go home. I'm going to rest. I'm going to retire. I'm going to take it easy. No, he's the type of a person that's going to make a home run in the last inning. That's what I see in Caleb. He's going to knock it out of the ballpark. He said, I want the mountain. I want the mountain. God said, go claim the land. Caleb said, okay, here I am. Here's my hand, Lord. I'm willing to go. Now, let's just kind of go back, retrace our steps a little bit, and let me say a few things about Caleb. He said, I want that mountain. He had a good reason to say that. And let me tell you why I think he had a reason. Again, now, keep in mind, he was 85 years old. That's getting up there, isn't it? 85 years old. And so he did not let age stop him. He didn't let arthritis stop him. He probably had it. By the way, do you think people had arthritis back in them days? Why wouldn't they have it? Do you think it's something just came along the last few years? He had, I'm sure, his aches and pains, didn't he? But so far as his intent and desire to serve God, that did not diminish with age. Caleb's a type of a person that wasn't about to go window shopping spiritually. If he goes out and goes shopping, he's going to be buying something. Now, you say, what kind of an illustration is that? Well, follow me for just a minute. Have you ever known people that'll spend a whole day window shopping? You know, I get tickled sometimes. Of course, we're all guilty of this. You know, you walk in a store, somebody walk up to you, they'll say, could I help you? And you know what we usually say? No, no, thank you. I'm just looking. Well, you're supposed to look, right? If you're going to shop. No, thank you. I'm just kind of checking things out. Some people spend all the time just checking things out, but they never lay any money on the counter and buy anything. You call that window shopping. Well, I heard a story one time of somebody knew somebody else that window shopped all the time. And they said, well, tell me, let me ask you a question. Why do you call it shopping? You never buy anything. And the person replied to that individual that made that statement. They said, well, why do you call it fishing? You never catch anything. In verse number 12, Caleb walks up to Joshua. He says, give me this mountain. Give me the mountain. What qualified him to ask for the mountain? Well, let me put it this way tonight. I believe that God would give us the mountain if we'll claim it. I believe there's land to be claimed. I believe there's territory to possess. I believe this evening, as long as you and I are still above this earth, thank God we're going to be way above it one day. But while we're living physically as God's people, we should never be satisfied with a status quo. We should be pressing forward. We should continually drive on, seeking and trusting God to still bless us and use us. Give me the mountain. In order to ask for a mountain, you've got to first of all be committed. That's what I see here. Be committed. Verse number 8 of chapter 14. He says, 40 years old was I when Moses, a servant of God, sent me from Kadesh Barnea to spy out the land, and I brought him word again as it was in my heart. He said, 40 years ago. He could look back. He could say, I was committed 40 years ago, but my commitment is still intact. I still have not changed. Now, here's something you find out about him. He wholly followed the Lord. 5 times in the Old Testament, you'll find it saying about him, Caleb, he wholly followed the Lord. You know what that means? You know what that means? That means to close the gap. When you wholly follow the Lord, that means to close the gap. Now let me explain that a little bit further. It refers to the fact that Caleb was committed to keeping the distance between himself and the Lord at a minimum. He wholly followed the Lord. He's closing the gap. He's a type of a person who had the attitude, I do not want the distance to increase between myself and my Lord. I want to keep the gap closed. Basically, the idea there is I want to stay as close to the Lord as I possibly can. That's what it means. And you know what? When you stay close to the Lord, you're wholly following the Lord, and you're going to be a committed person. The key to commitment is staying close to the Lord. Let me illustrate it this way. I don't care how godly we might be, or we might think we are. If anybody follows us personally long enough, they're going to meet for disappointment. They're going to be disappointed at some point in time. There's not a single person here tonight that is worthy to always follow closely, because sometimes our steps deviate. Sometimes we mess up. Now, think about that. Are there times in your life that you're hoping somebody isn't duplicating your example? Certainly. Now, I can stand here tonight and tell you as a preacher that, hey, there are times in my life that I'm just not on top of it like I feel like I ought to be. You see, we all put our shoes on about the same way, don't we? Before we're anything else, we're human. We make mistakes. We think wrong thoughts. We say stupid things. We do dumb things. We make mistakes. We do not read the Bible like we should from time to time. We don't pray like we should. Our fellowship with God sometimes suffers. I'm glad that our relationship with God in terms of justification is permanent. But this thing of sanctification is another sermon altogether. And there are times in our lives that we're just not always the best example to follow. And don't be surprised that I'm saying that. Anybody, if they're honest, will admit that. We're not always using a terminology. We're not all the time on the top of our game. Do you ever get sluggish? Do you ever feel like you don't want to pray? Do you ever sometimes feel like you don't even want to go to church? Are you ever shy when it comes to the matter of witnessing? Are there times that seem like you read the Bible and just can't get a thing out of it? Do you ever have spiritual lows? Why, sure you do. We all do. Now, if the greatest preacher probably of all, since apart from the Savior, would say, "Oh, wretched man that I am, who shall deliver me from the body of this death?" I'd say that probably all of us, if we're honest, we'd have to say we're pretty wretched too. Paul said that, didn't he? But the Bible says, and here's the key, at least five times, Caleb wholly followed the Lord. Now, that'll keep you committed. Keep on following the Lord. Keep your eyes on Christ. Follow His example. And even again, like I said earlier, a person at their best is still a person before they're anything else. Oh, thank God for friends. We know that example is important. We know that we're to set an example before one another. That is wonderful. That's what the Bible would encourage. But at the same time, to really be committed, we've got to keep on following the Lord, though. And that's how he was committed. Five times he wholly followed the Lord. He kept the gap closed. Kept the gap closed. Now, here's our problem. Too many times we Christians leave ourselves an escape hatch back into the old life that we used to live. We kind of leave a little bit of escape hatch. We say, if things don't work out here, then I can, you know, fall back, let's say. We need to burn every bridge that leads back to the old life. We need to set our minds on the task of following the Lord, of conquering Canaan, and of being the Christian that God meant us to be. We need to keep on following the Lord. Three little girls one day were talking. One of them said, very proud of the fact, one of them said, "My father's a doctor, and he practices medicine." Another one said, "My dad's an attorney, and he practices law." And a third little girl said, "My daddy's a Christian, but he doesn't practice it anymore." You know, that's humorous. But yet it's sad, isn't it? The Christian life, we ought to keep on practicing what we say that we are. And if God is real, and He is, then His realness ought to be seen in our lives. Caleb wholly followed the Lord. Half-hearted Christians are faint-hearted Christians. They never learn to conquer the giants in the land. You've heard this, haven't you? This guy one time was having trouble with his car. He had a tow truck driver to pull his car to the garage. En route to the garage, there was a hill. And the tow truck driver was pulling this guy's car up the hill. And of course, the man was still seated in the car. And a tow truck driver pulled him up the hill, pulled him down to the garage. Tow truck driver told that man when they finally got there, he said, I was beginning to wonder if I could ever make it up that big hill. And that man said, I didn't either. He said, that's why I kept the brakes on the whole time. Too many people keep the brakes on. You see, I'm talking about commitment. I'm talking about taking your feet off of the brakes and letting God lead us and move us and direct us and claiming the mountain. D.L. Moody, the great preacher of the 19th century, saved when he was 19 years old. He heard an evangelist one time preaching by the name of Henry Varley, and the man said this. He said, the world has yet to see what God can do in and through and with a man who's wholly committed to Him. And D.L. Moody said, by God's grace, I'll be that man. And I'll tell you, he certainly was, wasn't he? He preached the gospel. Thousands of souls were saved. He established the Moody Bible Institute in Chicago. And God used the great evangelist, D.L. Moody. I'll tell you, there's just no limit to what God can do if you and I are just committed to the Lord and we have that desire, I want the mountain. I want the mountain. He was courageous too, wasn't he? He was not only committed, he wholly followed the Lord, but he was courageous. Courageous. Why? Here's what happened. Caleb, we see him in the land. We see him fighting. We see him overcoming. What did he overcome, you ask? Well, he overcame grasshoppers, didn't he? He knew that he was taller than a grasshopper because he knew that God was in his life. He overcame grasshoppers. He overcame giants. Now, do you have any giants in your life tonight? We all do, don't we? They need to be overcome. What are the giants, preacher? Well, what about these giants that I'm about to mention? What about the giant of discouragement? You ever get discouraged? What about the giant of finances? You're thinking tonight, I just can't pay my bills. What about the giant of sickness, the giant of family distress? What about the giant of doubt? We can't defeat them ourselves. But you see, we do have an option. Thank God we have an option. You know, it's just like this. I love that portion of Scripture in the book of Acts where Paul was being transported on that ship. And he was to stand before the Roman ruler. And the ship wrecked, or rather what happened. Things began to develop. Storm came. They had to throw everything overboard. And then they got on rafts, whatever would sustain them. And they got to the shore the best way they could. You know that account. But there's a passage there in that portion of Acts that pretty well describes how you and I need to react to the problems in our life. There's a passage that basically says, we let her drift. In other words, the thought is, Paul is saying, we can't do a thing because a storm is too great. We can't deal with the waves. We can't handle the storm. All we can do is let her drift. In other words, it's in God's hand. And I believe tonight that's how we need to be. We come against these giants. We deal with these problems. We deal with all of these issues of our life. We may as well take our hands off the issue and let it drift. Let God take over. Otherwise, we'll be nuts if we're not careful. We let her drift. What about those promises tucked away in the Scripture? They're more than mottos to stick on the wall, you know. My God shall supply all you need according to His riches and glory by Christ Jesus. I can do all things through Christ which strengtheneth me. All things work together for the good to them that love the Lord, to them who are the called according to His purpose. On and on. We read those promises. It's time, my friend, we quit simply quoting them or pinning them on the wall. How about our believing them? How about our trusting them? We need to let it drift. Let God take our... We need to do what I had to do one time, and I've used this illustration many, many times, but I'm glad I went through it now because I can use this illustration. It's a pretty good one, too. That time I told you about, I was a student in Bible college, and I was coming to Piedmont Bible College one morning going to class, and I was driving that old 62 Dodge, I think it was, and I'd taken the steering wheel off to try to fix the timer lights, the signal lights on it, forgot to put that little lock nut back on there. They used to, you know, used to do a little bit, able to do a little bit of that shade tree mechanic and get by with it. Now, you know, you can't. You'd have to stick one on the computer now just to figure out how to deal with this. You know, how to deal with the signal lights. But anyway, here's what happened to me. Well, most of y'all know this. Some of you new folks, you've never heard this before. Gene, you and Terry need to hear this. Y'all new around here. I was coming down the road minding my business, going 60 miles an hour or 65 in a passing lane. Interstate 40, if you will. Heading west. And pulled my steering wheel off in my lap. What could I do? I really didn't have any choices. I tried my best to put that steering wheel back on. I couldn't get it to cooperate. Here I am in a passing lane. Cars going around me on the right. Cars coming at me this way. Would you have given me a ticket, David? I mean, I was totally, nothing I could do. I couldn't, I took these three little fingers here that God gave me and a little bolt sticking out. And I thought, well, I'll try to just turn this thing with those three little fingers. By then, my face had the look of fright. It's a wonder there weren't just massive pileups all over that road of people seeing my frightful look on my face. I had a Halloween face at that moment. Like old Ray Love used to say, he said, wouldn't it have been something if the Martians would have invaded this earth on Halloween night? What could I do? Absolutely nothing. I thought if I ease my feet on the brake, it'll either be in the medium, it'll be head on, or if I ease my foot on the brake, I'll sideswipe a car going around. What do I do? Well, I'm here tonight as a living testimony to tell you this. I couldn't do a thing. A car just happened to get by me, and I knew something had to give somewhere. I knew I had to get that car on the side of the road. I couldn't control it. All I could do was let it drift. I did ease on the brake a little bit, and folks, I raised my hand tonight and say this. God took over that night or that morning. And next thing I knew, I was on the side of the road. And guess what? I didn't get a dent doing it. But I had to let it drift. I found out that God does take care of several types of people. Infants, imbeciles. Sometimes life is like that. There's absolutely nothing we can do. Now, if Caleb at that point in time, he would have said, I can't deal with that mountain. I'm 85 years old. I've now got arthritis. I've got problems. My vision is not that good. And it just don't feel good. And besides, Medicare is having a hard time picking me up. He could have complained, couldn't he? But no, he said, I'm just going to let it drift. God said, go. God said, it's yours. And I'm just fool enough to claim it. So give me the mountain. I say tonight to all of us in this building, keep on pressing forward as long as God gives you breath in your lungs. While you're able to serve God, be faithful. Serve the Lord. Quit window shopping. Start buying. Start doing something. And don't give up because people are watching us. Though we're not always the best example, but above all, keep on following the Lord, and you'll stay committed. And as long as you're here, God still has something for you to do, so don't stop short of victory. I want that mountain. Let's pray.